You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show
on Seattle Sports Station.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
Yep, this hour driven by Wastecar Ford and our opportunity, as we do every week at this time, to talk to Joe Fan. You can read him at seattlesports.com or on the Seattle Sports app, and you can hear him every Tuesday at 8 o'clock and every Wednesday at 6:30 in the morning. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Mike. How are you, sir? I'm doing well. Thank you.
Let's start quickly with last night, and then we'll bounce over to the Seahawks. What'd you make of the win for the end of that game for the Mariners?
Yeah, a win's a win. When you have a 21-year playoff drought, you're not going to argue with getting lucky here and there. And, you know, the Mariners have had enough bad breaks lately. You know, Julio's pair of home runs that I think most Mariners fans would argue were home runs, one in Texas, one last night, two replay reviews going against them when it came to home runs. And you know what? If the Angels are going to boot the ball around a little bit, then, you know, the Mariners will happily take advantage, take the win, and move on without looking back, as they should. I think it just goes to show you, you know, how much just competency, how far competency can get you. And if you can just do the little things right, put the ball in play, be smart on the base paths, don't make the big mistake, you can keep yourself in games. And you can also, if you do the opposite, you can, you know, ruin yourself and cost you a game. So nice to see the Mariners on the positive end of a game there after dropping 2 of 3 at Texas over the weekend.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that at the end, which is why I don't like to use the word lucky for wins like that. To me, you're putting pressure on them. You're forcing them to make decisions which are challenging, and you're not making those mistakes yourself. To me, that's a reflection of your manager and of their manager.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think all I want right now is just for things to continue to go the way they're going. And so then we can just kind of do the callback to, you know, I'll never forget after the brawl, and not to bring it all the way back to that, but also to bring it back to that, because I'll never forget the basically overwhelming sentiment from Angels players, Angels fans, the organization was, this is the tone setter for the rest of our season. And this is how it's going to get us going. And since it's just been so bad in Anaheim, and it's too soon to take that victory lap, but certainly when they're booting the ball around and then the mental mistakes that came in bunches in that inning last night was just a chef's kiss. Beautiful for everyone in Seattle.
The shot of Nevin just frustrated and you know, despondent on the bench was probably my favorite. All right, today the Seahawks will have their first public practice since the game on Saturday night in Pittsburgh. Who will be their starting quarterback taking reps with the ones today?
I think it's still going to be Geno. And I just think that the whole thing has been weird, and I've seen some theories that makes sense where, okay, it's a true competition, but, you know, Geno's got the respect of his teammates, and so they don't want it to appear like they're just giving Locke the opportunity, even though Geno's been there for several years now and knows the offense. Because Geno still was pretty solid. So my guess is it's still Geno. You know, I think Drew Locke looked good. I think he's been deserving of reps with the ones. I think if you're going to have... If you're mentioning that Pete Carroll trusts Geno Smith more, he knows exactly what he's getting, and there's something to be said for that in a year where if they're going to compete, they're going to have to play ultimate Pete Carroll ball. They're going to have to protect the football. They're going to have to control the clock. They're going to have to dominate field position. They're going to have to, you know, get off the field on third down defensively. They're going to have to hold teams, bend but don't break, hold teams to field goals, win turnover battle, and find a way to, you know, have it 13-10 or, you know, 14-13 with 4 minutes to play, and you've got a chance to steal one. And that's going to be the recipe, in my opinion. And I think Geno Smith, in Pete Carroll's eyes, probably looks at it and say, hey, he's got our best chance to get us there because I know exactly what I'm going to get from him.
What did you make of the game overall outside of the quarterback position? What did you think of what you saw from their roster?
I don't think you ever want to see, even if it's preseason, a team just march down and score against you right away. It's just sort of at least puts a bad taste in your mouth out of the gate. The best storyline of the game was Boye Mafe looking like an absolute star. And, you know, if he and Daryl Taylor can be a dynamic duo, you know, maybe not to the degree of Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, but be a down-to-down factor that, you know, teams are going to have to, you know, make note of where those guys are, that they're there, and they can be a consistent presence. That's huge, because I think this team has been lacking that consistent pass rush from both ends for several years now. And, you know, all of a sudden it might make Jamal Adams' life a bit easier because, okay, we got to keep tabs on Jamal, Mafe, and Daryl Taylor. Mm-hmm. And that starts to, you know, that becomes a numbers game that can become a challenge at times. And so this is going to be a defense that has to carry this team, much like the pitching staff carries the Mariners. And a pass rush is vital to that. And I think there's enough pieces around that you feel that's possible to keep them in games. But certainly Mafe looking the part in preseason week one makes you feel much better about that.
How about the offensive line?
Stellar. Yeah. I mean, Charles Cross looks like the real deal. And that's really exciting. And I think, you know, I don't think there was a ton of skepticism about that pick anywhere, whether it's Seahawks fans, whether it's media, whether it's national talking heads. I think everyone looked at that pick and said, yep, that's real safe. But you still got to see it. And certainly looked the part. And that's huge when you walk away from Duane Brown and say, we're going to move a different direction. And, you know, he looked every bit as good as you would hope. And, you know, you hope we can continue to build on that. And I think there's plenty to look at that offensive line and say, yeah, they could pave the way for a really successful ground game with Rashad Penny and Kenneth Walker, to where, again, Pete Carroll ball can thrive. And you're seeing the pieces come together with how they want this season to go here in 2022.
Hey, what's going on with your guy, Jimmy Garoppolo? I know you're a fan of his. I know you covered him when you were in San Francisco. It seems like an awkward situation where he's, you know, he's living with his ex and his ex's new partner. But why are all these leaks coming out about him now and how he, you know, he ghosted them for a while? Like, what do you think's going on there?
It's really weird. And to be honest, I don't know. I've made a couple of calls trying to figure something out of, one, what's going on, and two, how is this going to end? I'm shocked there's no resolution to it yet. And I'm curious what the driving factor is. If they're still holding out hope that they get a draft pick in compensation in a trade, or if there's still, if they say, hey, we're going to have to release him at some point, but wherever he goes, we want to give him as little time to acclimate as possible prior to week one. And Seattle might be chief among them when they're picturing where this thing could go. It is bizarre, though, because it's a bizarre situation to put Trey Lance into. And Kyle Shanahan has been devout in saying, we have moved on to Trey Lance. He's our guy. But it is still a weird situation to keep him around, because Jimmy Garoppolo took that team to a Super Bowl and then another NFC Championship game. And while I don't think he was the driving force of those teams and that success, there's going to be a lot of fans there who say, if you just run it back with Jimmy, we can get back there again. And it's not super different from when Russell Wilson started slow in 2012 and fans are saying, hey, we know we can get from Matt Flynn. This is our championship-made defense. You got to go with the sure thing. It's not a complete apples-to-apples scenario, but should Jimmy Garoppolo stick around on that roster by week one on the regular season, which I would be shocked if it did, but it's a storyline until it's not. It just makes things really, really bizarre in San Francisco. So I'm fascinated to see where it ends. And I'm going to continue to poke around and see what I can learn about, you know, a situation that is, yeah, pretty bizarre.
Excellent. Joe, thank you. Good stuff. Great piece this week again at seattlesports.com on things you want to see from the Mariners here down the stretch. Love reading you. Love talking to you. We'll do it again next week.
I appreciate it, Mike. Have a good one.
All right, there you go. There is Joe Fan. Find him on Twitter at Joe_Fan. And then, read him every week, twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays at seattlesports.com. I should also tell you that the Mariners have Native American Heritage Night coming up on Tuesday the 23rd, celebrating Native American Heritage Night with the first 10,000 fans getting a Mariners-themed hat. First pitch will be at 7:10. That's a game against the Nationals. You can get your tickets at mariners.com/promotion. So I want to let you know about that. The Groz is going to join us in 20 minutes. Anybody miss the Groz? Well, want to hear from him? I do. I was just thinking about him the other day, so shot him a text and said, all right, come on, come talk about the Mariners. So we'll do that.
His Dare to Dream Express on this Mariners run.
The Dare to Dream Express nearly fell off the tracks a couple of weeks ago when he was saying they might need to move on from their manager. But it seems like it is not derailed, and it is now moving straight ahead. So it's rumbling along. We'll talk to Groz coming up in 20 minutes.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Let the reign of chaos begin. It certainly continued last night. How about the ninth inning? Mariners scoring four times to break a 2-2 tie. I'll try to take you through it all. Haggerty singled to lead off the inning. He went to second. on a pass ball, but it wasn't just a pass ball. He wasn't looking to go, but Stassi never looked, threw the ball into center field, and the next thing you know, Haggerty's at second. Then he decided to steal third because the lefty, Aaron Loop, wasn't really paying any attention. So they walked Santana, by the way, only on three balls because umpire Laz Diaz got the count screwed up. And that's when things started to get weird.
Now the stretch. And the 2-0 pitch. Swing and a line shot dropped by the second baseman, Renifo. Here comes Haggerty to the plate to throw home. And now they got Haggerty to run down. Stassi to the third baseman, Rojas. And a run will score. Throw back to third. Moore is safe at third. Holy smokes, I don't believe what I just saw.
I couldn't understand why it was happening until I realized that nobody was covering the plate, which is why he couldn't throw home again, and Haggerty accelerated straight through the bag. Dylan Moore did his thing. Don't worry, the next play also was weird. It was a tailor-made double play right at the shortstop. He just decided to chuck it home. That didn't work out either. The whole thing really was, in a word, odd.
How many plays at the plate can you have in one inning? It just was crazy what was going on there, but... Again, we caught a few breaks. You have to take advantage of them. We put ourselves in a position by the pitching and how we played to keep the game right there and create some havoc later on. So that's the chaos ball, as they like to say. At its finest.
It was certainly chaotic. The game also featured a home run that bounced off Julio's glove in right center. After he collided with Mitch Haniger, there was a disallowed home run that Julio hit. Apparently, it went just foul after a review. So, yeah. Oh, and by the way, the game ended on a check swing, but it was a check swing unlike any I've ever really heard or seen before.
The look in by Seawald. Here's the right-hander's 1-2 to Adele. Check swing, and that hit him on the hand. So it's going to be a strike and a foul ball, and that hit Adele on the hand. He was going for the swing, and he is hurting. Wait a second.
And that's
He's
the ball
out.
Game.
That's out. It's not a foul ball. He didn't hit it with the bat. Laz Diaz just informed everybody, this is a strange game. Holy smokes. The game is over.
This is a strange game. It really was. The Mariners are doing the hokey pokey at second base while Joe Adele has the trainer out looking at his finger and shaking it in agony. What an incredibly odd situation. But hey, sorry, Phil Nevin. These things happen now and again when you make the baseball gods angry. Mariners stay half a game up for the top wild card spot. Toronto loses. All of the other competitors won.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Yeah, first round of roster moves due today. Seahawks getting a little jump on things. Their big move they made, they trade Ugo Amadi to Philly for receiver J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Kind of an interesting deal for a few reasons. First of all, he was the guy picked right before or soon before DK Metcalf. And obviously, DK's become a star. Arcega-Whiteside is not. Big disappointment. He's caught a grand total of 16 balls in his career. For 290 yards. He's even played some tight end. Maybe he'll be used in that role here. I don't know. Maybe that speaks to some of the challenges and the drops we saw from the tight end spot on Saturday, or maybe some of the injury concerns at wide receiver, D. Eskridge, Marquise Goodwin, etc., have been sidelined. To me, though, it speaks to the depth in the secondary. There wasn't really room for Amadi with Jones and Burns and Bryant and Woolen and Coleman and Blair, etc. They've got a lot of dudes back there, which is a huge improvement from where they were a year ago.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
I'd like to know what's going on with the top of the Mariners lineup. Both Julio and Ty France with rough nights once again last night in Anaheim. And I get it. Last two games they faced Martin Perez and Shohei Ohtani, and those guys are both really good. And I know Julio just missed a couple of home runs flirting with foul pole, but neither has looked exactly the same since returning from their wrist injuries. And yes, some of this is confirmation bias for me because I'm not wild about wrist injuries, especially with Ty France. But this is why. Right? I mean, you come back and often you are capable of playing, but not capable of playing at your full strength to your full potential. And unfortunately, we've seen too much of that here over the course of the last few weeks. So, all right, that's everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour on the Mike Salk Show.
The umpire scorecard came out for Laz Diaz, by the way.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
The called ball accuracy, the yes. League average is 97. He had a 95.
Okay.
So two below.
Yeah.
Called strike accuracy is the average is 88%.
Mm.
82.
Okay. A little below. Yeah. A little struggle.
Overall accuracy, the average is 94.
Yeah.
90.
Okay.
Overall consistency averages 94. 90,
oof.
All of which resulting in an overall favor of 0.32 runs for Seattle.
Yeah, but that doesn't include accuracy on keeping the count.
Yep,
I mean, the biggest mistake he made beyond any of those was giving him a walk on three balls.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a very strange moment. Yeah, not his best work. He did take responsibility afterwards, though, and just said, hey, I blew it.
Surprised to see
he did, but also said they could have challenged.
They could have. He's right about that.
Yeah.
And actually, breaking news just a moment ago, Phil Nevin has woken up. he seemed to be in a bit of a stupor throughout the ninth inning. I mean, for all of the mistakes that his team made on the field, let's be clear. Nevin didn't challenge the fact that they screwed up the count, so he wasn't doing much better. And why is Aaron Loop even in that game? I don't want to get like too deep into the baseballism of the whole thing, but you've got a lefty who'd pitched the inning before who you still have in. He's not okay, fine. You want him to face a couple of lefties, but that's not what you had. You had switch hitter and Haggerty. You ended up with a guy coming in to
pinch hit,
switch hitter in Carlos Santana. Okay, fine. You got to have some. No matter what, they're going to face the opposite-handed reliever. But then you leave him in to face both Julio and Ty France, two righties? Why? Because you desperately had to get Jesse Winker out after all of that?
And Nevin's going to be really upset when they tell him what happened last night.
Seriously? Like, what, is that guy just sleeping through the whole thing? Or is he still privately seething and looking for a way to fight this team? I don't know what that guy's doing, but the Angels should make history. They should fire a second manager in one season. Maybe George Steinbrenner has done that. I really wish somebody would do this research for me, because I'm not going to do it myself. But somebody should do this. I think they should make history. Fire a second manager. He's doing a terrible job. Get rid of the guy. All right, let's talk to the Groz. We'll do that next. I miss the Groz father, and so we got to catch up with him, hear how he's doing and what he thinks about his Dare to Dream Express. That's next. Mike Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
You're listening to the Mike Salk Show,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports Station.
Yep, this hour still driven by Wayscarf Ford. Phil Nevin still sleeping. Sleeping through the end of a game, trying to figure out what direction he wants to go.
He and Tony Lewis are both sleeping.
Yeah, we got a text who said there have been a bunch of teams who have had more than two managers in a year, I'm sure. But the thing is, I'm sure a lot of those were interim manager who's then sort of the next guy gets hired. So that's kind of a different scenario. I don't know whether anyone's ever fired two managers in one season, but let's go to the encyclopedic knowledge of the great Groz. Dave Grosby joining me right now. Hi, Groz.
Hi, Michael. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, and you sound great.
Thank you, sir.
It's good to hear your voice. Do you think anyone's ever fired two managers in one season?
I've got to believe George Steinbrenner did.
That's kind of what we thought. Like, maybe he has, but I'll tell you, if I were Artie Moreno, I'd fire Phil Nevin today.
Yeah, that was, I'm like everyone else. I mean, I've seen a lot of things, but I never saw a thing like that thing last night, the way that game ended. And it was, what are they, 8 under 500 or 12 under 500 since they brought him in?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they are a mess, you know. And I wonder if Ohtani, looking at the other dugout, I understand the Mariners haven't done anything in the time that he's been here, but I wonder if he wouldn't rather be on this side of the dugout.
Well, certainly
here in particular.
Yeah, I mean, certainly watching what we're seeing right now. Why do you think the Mariners are having success? What do you think has been their, you know, how they turned it around? They were, what, 9 games back? I remember you tweeting and telling me if they get to 10, then you got a problem. They never did. How do you think they turned it around?
It's a great question, because I was trying to, you know, see if they reminded me of anyone, any of the previous Mariner teams, and they really don't. I mean, it sounds silly, but just I think they just believed. I mean, that their numbers aren't overwhelming. They're doing it despite not having consistent offense. Pitching has been good. The bullpen has been real good. But, you know, Marco Gonzalez hasn't been strong this year, so it hasn't been outrageously good pitching. They just, you know, they really saved the season that last trip to Anaheim when Trout had the thing, when they had the little beanball battle, and they bounced back from there. They just started winning games, and they just kind of they kind of made it a habit. I mean, it just feels like they made it a habit. And last night was sort of an example of that. You know, back in the old days, it was refuse to lose. And I mean, it was just seemed like something would happen every night that would, you know, lead you to victory. And the Mariners seem to me to be a team that expects to win. And sometimes that's enough in this league.
Instead of refuse to lose, it's wait to win.
Maybe. You know, maybe that's the right way to look at it, because they really have looked at, you know, the end of the season. I mean, the end of this entire rebuild, the end of Jerry DePoto, the end of Scott Service. It was staring at them 9 games back and out of the race, it looked like, and not playing well. And like I said, you know, I'm thinking they've got to make some sort of a change, and I certainly wasn't alone in thinking that. And they managed to get themselves back into a position where now it would be surprising if they don't make the playoffs. I'm not saying that's jinxing or anything like that, but the position they're in, especially the way the season ends, this is a team that should be playing postseason baseball.
How far away are they from being a great team? And I don't mean an all-time great, but I mean like a team like the Yankees and the Astros that are challenging, winning their division, World Series contenders. How far away from that are they?
You know, I think to be that, you got to have some stars for sure, but you've got to have depth. I mean, you've got to be able to withstand injuries, and you know the Dodgers are an extreme example of that this year, and they have been in past years of having a bunch of guys hurt and being able to shrug it off. Now you're not going to have a $300 or $400 million payroll, so you've got to find pieces. And, you know, they've got a few of those pieces. Look, they've certainly got a guy who's about to be a superstar in this game, in Julio Rodriguez, and you certainly need that. But you also need guys like Haggerty, who is just a clutch player. Dylan Moore is just a clutch player, the kind of players you see on teams that win. I think Carlos Santana is an excellent piece to have, is the sort of guy you see, if he's not starting, playing for a winning team. So, you know, it's depth more than anything else. The ability to withstand the rigors of a 162-game season is what ultimately sets teams apart and what ultimately, you know, has you win consistently. And, you know, the Mariners are not quite there yet in terms of having the frontline talent, but they do have some nice pieces of depth. And look, I mean, with Castillo, who's just been terrific, you know, you've got with Logan Gilbert 3 really good starters. And if Marco can get back to where he was, you've got 4 really good starters.
Yeah. Do you, what do you see with Castillo? I mean, I watch him and I see Pedro Martinez, the same kind of easy, fluid, loose motion, you know, four-seamer, sinker, plus the ridiculous changeup and the slider. I see a lot of Pedro in him. What do you see?
Yeah, that was I saw that note you put up there, and it made some sense. And you know, it's he doesn't really remind me of anyone. You know, I was thinking of Freddy Garcia in his prime here, but he never threw that hard. And you know, this guy can get it up and rush it up there at 98, 99, but throws, you know, 4 different pitches. And you think of Felix a little bit in his prime, but no, not quite that either. You know, Pedro, I thought when you said it, was I was like, well, come on, not really. But
well, he's not
actually,
Pedro. Nobody's Pedro. Pedro's unique.
Right. No, there's no question about it. But you know, after thinking about it a little bit, you know, you're right. He does have the easy motion, the variety of pitches, the serene nature.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fair way of putting it? That Pedro kind of had just doesn't seem to get panicked out there, regardless of what happens. And it's the feeling that Mariner fans are familiar with, who've been around a long time, of when you know you have a pitcher who's going to pitch a really good game. I mean, it's only been 3 starts, but I already have that feeling with this guy.
I was saying earlier, when Pedro was in his prime, you would take your bathroom breaks when the team was up because you didn't want to miss Pedro. And that's rare. How many pitchers have you watched with any consistency that you would say got to that level?
Randy Johnson. I mean, you know, he was definitely at that level. You know, his last couple of years here, and you know, Felix, you know, was close to there and was certainly very good. But to be specific to your question, I mean, Randy was the guy who you didn't want to miss the other team batting, because you just were amazed at what he was doing, especially when he was in his prime. When he was in his prime, he put up ridiculous numbers like Pedro did.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just amazing to see. And you know, the influence that it had, and we'll see if this comes to fruition with Castillo, that I'm sure it had with the Red Sox, and it definitely had with the Mariners, which is, you know, when those guys were out there, the team was incredibly confident. You knew you had to get a run most of the time. That was going to be all you needed to get. and team wound up playing looser behind him and wound up playing better because of it. So, you know, it's a tremendous amount of confidence for the entire team that's out on the field when you've got a pitcher who is that overwhelming. And Randy is really the only guy I can think of like that.
Graz, I was, I don't know if you saw this article at 538, right? They do a lot of numbers related stuff. And they were writing about the Mariners yesterday, and they ran 15 full career simulations of Julio Rodriguez's career. So they use a computer program called Out of the Park Baseball, and they run 15 simulations of his career. In the average career simulation, so there were as many, you know, better as worse, he hit 658 home runs. In the best case scenario, he hit 1,020 home runs, drove in more than 2,600 runs, and scores more than 2,500. All three would be records for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I play out of the park baseball, so I mean, it maybe is reacting a little bit to what he's doing his rookie season, but that's what he's doing his rookie season. I mean, it's got a computer thinking that you know, this guy, if he continues on this path, this is where it leads you to. I mean, you know, there's just no question in watching him that you know, this is the next great superstar to play here, and it's not terribly surprising that it would come up with that based on what he's done, you know, in his first year. It's just been, I think, you know, and having to fight off a little bit of injury issues too, and bouncing back from it as well is a key part of it, because that's what it's going to be a part of the rest of his career. But you know, it's not exaggerating to say that literally there's no limit on him. I mean, he looks to have absolutely everything, and that's another thing that Seattle fans have seen twice before. You know, saw it with Ken Griffey, certainly saw it with Alex Rodriguez. You know, you saw a really young player just be absolutely off the charts spectacular, and that's Julio. I mean, it's exciting to see again. It really is exciting to see again here in Seattle.
How about this? In four of the 15 simulations they did, he becomes the sport's all-time home run king. And in 11 of the 15, he joins the 600 homer club, which would make him top 10. That's ridiculous. That's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing, and geez, it's going to be fun watching him. I mean, it already is. And then, you know, especially this year as we get down to nitty-gritty time and get to September, and it's great that it's not a one-year playoff this year. You know, it's three games in, and you've got a big three on your pitching staff. I mean, you know, look, the Mariners aren't the elite of the American League, clearly. But, you know, with three good pitchers and some momentum, you would think, because of the way I believe the season's going to end, anything is possible.
So are you calling this – is this a Dare to Dream Express situation, or is this go beyond that now?
Oh, I think it's – I really do believe it would be a surprise if they don't make the postseason at this point.
So this isn't dreaming. This is now like a reality. This is like a real train.
Well, it's like the train already left. It's like we're waiting at the station to board the Dare to Dream Express, but it's gone.
Right.
I mean, it's one of the 538, speaking of them, I think they got them at 85% to make the postseason.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, it's happening.
You know, you and I got a chance to hang out a couple of weeks ago, which was fun. How are you doing, by the way? Tell the people, how are you today?
I'm doing great, man. I'm fighting the good fight and definitely hanging in there. So not to worry about me.
Good. And we miss you, and it's just great to hear your voice more than anything else. But after you and I saw each other, did I tell you that I ended up thinking a lot about how much I wanted to be a radio DJ and even practicing on the show?
No,
it wasn't very good. I don't know whether we have it anywhere. I was sort of looking for it in our system, but I gave it a run. I tried to essentially like be a rock DJ, and Justin kind of tried to teach me. He walked me through a little bit of, like, you know, how you come out of a song, how you enter the new song. Justin, do we have any of that anywhere?
I'm looking for it right now, but I mean, Graz would know because we used to work across the hall from each other, so he'd pop into my studio once in a while and talk about the good old days of rock radio and how he used to do that too. And we had to, you know, do the classic back sell a song, front sell a song. He had to give all the standard stuff that you do in one of those breaks, and I honestly think he did pretty good.
I got a little bit of it. Here's some.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Freebird, and that was Leonard Skinner, named after, of course, their high school gym teacher. Tough transition whenever you're going to go from Skinner to the 90s. Pearl Jam kind of blew a lot of that music right out of the water. But I know you know Jeremy, and you're going to listen to it and like it right now. It's King Mike on Banana 101.5. You know, it's this Flint's Real Rock. Oh! What do you think, Krause? Could I have made a career of this?
I think you went in the right direction with your career.
Well, I didn't have any practice there. I mean, that was really my first time.
That was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
That was surprisingly
Krause,
good.
You're being nice. There's a reason this happened while I was out of town.
All right. That's enough out of everybody. Krause, we miss you. It's just great to hear your voice. Thank you. Good to hear your opinions. And everyone's still following you and reading your tweets. And we always want to know what you're up to. So thanks for taking a few minutes.
Thank you, guys. And I'm looking forward to the Mariners finally being back in the postseason and having a fall to remember here in Seattle.
Awesome. There you go. There is the Krause father, the great Dave Crosby, kind enough to take a few minutes and join us here this morning. And I really did have fun hanging out with him. I got to go see him again just because I love having lunch with the Krause.
He's the best guy.
He really is.
He's just the sweetest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is everything you hear about him is true. Just the nicest guy. He goes out of his way to be friendly to people he doesn't know. And not because he's upholding a reputation. It's just that's who he is.
Just who he is. And he'll pay for every drink and pay for lunch. I mean, it is who he's always wanted to be. And you just got to love the guy. So we miss him. We miss seeing him here every day and are always thinking of the Krause. So glad to have an opportunity to chat with him. Because we had Derek Young this morning. By the way, go listen to the Derek Young interview when it shows up later at seattlesports.com or on the podcast page or wherever you go to get our podcasts, all of those pesky podcast platforms. He was awesome. I got a ton of people who wrote in right afterwards who just really, really liked him.
How could you not?
Yeah, I got 253. Amazing kid. Can't wait to see what he does. He reminds me of Debo Samuel. All the new Hawks are inspiring. I'm really enjoying all these interviews Seattle Sports is doing. I keep saying this is my new favorite Seahawk. Yeah, I kind of get that.
That's the way these kids grew up now. I think they're just better at this. They've grown up under the a microscope of social media to know that their words have meaning and to be careful and thoughtful and that it can follow them and that it's important. And respect goes a long ways, and you hear it in this
one says, great interview with Derek Young. He's going to be a player in this league. So confident he will be. I'm buying a jersey when his number is settled. The other wide receivers in camp better guard their cookies because he's engineering a way to take them. That comes from Tony in the 509.
Right.
So,
engineering degree.
Yeah, if you get an opportunity, go listen to it. But because he was on with us at 7:30, we didn't get to do our normal Tuesday. And so let's make sure we hand out some L's.
You think we should just start in the most obvious location of all?
Yeah, go for it.
Anaheim, California. Let's go. Look into the dugout where Phil Nevin sits, completely flabbergasted, flummoxed. What are some other words that we can use to describe?
I think
Phil
flummoxed
Nevin?
Is perfect.
To describe his absolute disastrous trash fire meltdown.
I was going to say somnambulant.
Somnambulant.
Meaning asleep.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we're not Tony La Russa. We should probably save that for him.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, because I think he's still coming.
Fair. Yes.
Phil Nevin and his disastrous ninth inning. I mean, some credit obviously has to go to some of the players, but you're the one that says it. If it's the players that did it, the coaches put him there, right? So the players get a tiny bit, but it all still falls on Phil Nevin's shoulders. And we did have Stassi, I think, and Mora has the audio of him saying that he really took his own blame for this.
There was a lot of going on that inning, and I thought it was 2-2, and he said it was 3-1, and yeah, they said it was 3-1.
So frustrating to do anything like that when so many things go wrong for you.
Yeah, horrible, you know. That loss is on me. Yeah, it sucks. So it's just something that, you know, I've never done that before in my career, and probably I'll never do it again. I just anticipated him going, and I was trying to just be quick to it, and, you know, he didn't even go, obviously.
Oh, man. The wheel started to fall off with that pirouette spin throw.
Yeah, he never even looked.
Right center.
God, what a mess.
But that, you're right. I credit to Haggerty as well. He's in his head. But that's what happens. Pitchers think about it too.
I know there's a guy who's fast. I've got to hurry. If it's somebody else over there,
I know he's the winning run.
He has the opportunity to wait and see, but instead he's worried about Haggerty. The Mariners forced them to take that out.
And the legend of Swaggerty spreads.
It continues. Yeah. It continues. Yes. What is the whole thing? The Ham Swaggerty, right? Because that's sort of inverting his, the letters in his name. Uh-huh. I saw a picture somebody had online with an actual ham with his headband on it.
Take it. Mariners Twitter gets creative. So yeah. there's some hits, there's some misses. That's a good one.
A little both.
So I think we should just give Phil Nevin the Astros infield. We could do it 10 times, but
give it to him.
You'll always be a loser.
That's particularly perfect for Nevin, I think, in this situation. How about San Diego Padres star Fernando Tatis Jr.? Holy moly. You want to take this one?
Yeah, so he tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs, but don't worry, it's only because he had ringworm.
Yes.
And he took a medication.
Apparently.
Yeah, it's very sad. He compounded it by lying.
Yep.
I have read any number of baseball players, former players, David Ardsma, who played here, was very quick to be like, nope, that's garbage. Every ball player who got an illness like that would immediately go to their training staff and get the right medication for it. So don't even try it. Question. That is a complete fabrication of the truth. And it's too bad. Why doesn't he come out and just say, I was trying to get back. My rehab wasn't going as well as I thought. I did something stupid. I regret it. Okay.
Well, and then I also heard his father said that it was a fungus due to a haircut.
Yeah, get out of here. That's not true.
Okay.
None of that's true.
That's even weirder.
You're taking PEDs. Just own it. Move on. You're not the first. You won't be the last. Own it and move on.
He sort of did later. He said, I should have used the resources available to me in order to ensure no banned substances were in what I took. I failed to do so.
Right. But he's not saying I took PEDs.
Yeah, right.
He's saying I screwed up by not asking my trainer, which is garbage. That's just not true.
Totally correct. Oh, don't worry, though.
That's what everyone says. That's why even though he was a Yankee, I actually appreciated Andy Pettit just being like, yeah, messed up. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it shouldn't have done that. Yeah. Okay.
Almost everyone tries to lie at first.
I still hate Andy Pettit, though. I just want to be clear.
Let's get on the record.
I just want to make sure everyone understands that regardless, you're right.
Agreed. I just feel like he's one of the few that was honest right off the bat.
But I still hate him. A fair amount, like a lot.
Well, don't worry. Alex Rodriguez says he's available to help, but he won't reach out directly to Tatis.
No.
He also included a quote to say that he was heartbroken. Mm. Heartbroken.
He was?
For this. He wasn't angry. He was heartbroken.
Oh, his heart
Thanks,
broke.
Thanks, A-Rod.
For Fernando Tatis.
Yeah, so Fernando Tatis, I think this L is deservedly for you.
Okay, who's calling me a loser?
Everybody.
Yeah. Tony La Russa. Man.
This one's sad. I saw this last night. I mean, Tony's lost it, but this one's bad.
First of all, this was it 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago? He was caught sleeping in the dugout.
Yeah.
Camera zoomed in on him, eyes completely shut, doing the full nod off like you're in an airplane seat on hour six. And this is a Major League Baseball game that you're supposed to be actively managing. Then a fan screams at him. The audio is too garbled to hear it, but from, imagine the Diamond Club behind home plate, screaming at the manager in the dugout to pinch run somebody because he's clearly faster at second base.
Yeah.
Tony, seemingly like, it's a good idea, runs out and calls time, calls that player's name, sends him out onto the field. Again, the audio is too bad to hear, but you can imagine it, and it's all over if you want to find it.
Yeah, no, I tweeted it last night because it really cracked me up when I saw it. I mean, it sure looks as if the fan gets Tony La Russa to take him out and put in a pinch runner. It's hysterical.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he's 77 years old. I don't blame him for falling asleep out there. Why would you? I mean, that feels too old to manage in the modern day.
And that team is supposed to be really good this year. Right?
Yeah, they're not.
They're supposed to be really good.
Yeah, well, they've had some injuries, which are not Tony's fault. But it just, I don't know. The decision to hire him never really made sense. He's had some issues, obviously, in his career, drinking and driving, etc. But I don't know. Once a guy's fallen asleep in the dugout, I feel like maybe it's time to pull the plug. Or plug him back in, one or the other.
You bunch of losers!
Want to give a really, really quick one here?
Sure.
MLB has released its postseason schedule, so you're going to know when the World Series are exactly starting, when Game 7 would be, etc. All four wildcard series will be on three consecutive days, and the division series start October 11th. NLCS starts October 18th. I get that this is confusing.
Yes.
But here's why this is really frustrating is because it could drastically affect strategy, and the geography could be an absolute nightmare. For an example, and this is from Jeff Passan, if the Mariners and Yankees made it to the ALDS, for say, Seattle would host Game 4 on October 16th, and if they win, force a Game 5, or a win would force a Game 5. Both teams then have to fly from Seattle to New York City and play Game 5 the next day. Same thing could happen if the NLCS, say it was the Mets and the Dodgers.
All right. I mean, so it's a lot of
cross-country flights consecutive games. All
right, but like they both have to take the same flights, right?
Totally fair.
All right, so that's fine.
I still think it's a disaster.
It's not like when the Mariners have to fly to D.C. to play a doubleheader and then go to Texas.
Right, that's also terrible. But this is because of the lockout-induced late start.
All right. That is. Those are some L's that we've given out today. I'll tell you what. I would like to do something different next. Can we hand out two W's?
Oh, yeah.
I've got two W's that I would like to hand out.
Let's do that.
One for a Mariner and one for a kid I'd never heard of until yesterday. That's next. Mike Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.